Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Richard and Jill, for reading the scriptures. And a special welcome to one of my fan clubs from Corrible, Doreen's with her. Where is she? Put your hand up, Doreen. Why don't we put our hands together for Doreen? She didn't know I was here at all, actually. But, folks, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. Father, we want to thank you that your word is truth, and from it we can learn to behave like your people. It can convict us, challenge us. And Father, we do pray now that your spirit might work in us so that we might be challenged to live how you want us to live. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. A philosopher, and you've probably heard him, Immanuel Kant, amongst other things, had this philosophy that truth is relative. What's true for you is okay. What's true for you is okay. If adultery is good for you, that's good. If adultery is not good for you, that's okay. And so this whole idea of truth being relative is really put to the test with simple arithmetic. Because 2 and 2 always equal 4, doesn't it? The truth, if truth is relative, folks, we will have chaos in this life. But truth is absolute. According to the scriptures, adultery is always wrong and never right. Murder is always wrong and never right. Stealing is always wrong and never right. Lying, the same deal. Why? Because our God is a God of truth. And he has given us his absolute truth in the word of God. Truth is important to God, but you know what? It's not as important to us. Recently, a survey in the US, some of the results from that, 91% of people lie regularly. Men lie more than women. I think that's a lie. What else they found? Young men lie more than old men. Homosexuals lie more than heterosexuals. Catholics lie more than Protestants. But before you start putting your hand up, both lie more than Jews. The poor lie more than the rich. And only 31% believe that honesty is the best policy. And folks, I'm pretty sure that the US statistics would probably be reflecting what happens in Australia. We lie. People lie. But from those readings that Jill read to us, God hates liars. Let me just quickly remind you from Proverbs 6 again. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. 2 out of the 7 things God hates has to do with verbal dishonesty. Wow. God hates falsehood, lies, false witness. It's contrary to his essence. It's contrary to his character. He's identity is bound up in truth. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the and the life. Some of you might know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They were young Christians in the early church. And they were very generous. And they sold a property and they gave money to the church. The only trouble is, they actually said they gave all the money from the proceeds of their land to the church, and they kept some, a little for themselves. And it was interesting, they both dropped dead. Right from the beginning of the early church, God wants to show how important it is to be truthful, especially to the body of Christ. God is a God of truth. And if we are his people, we are to be a people of truth. That's why God has given us his commandments. Ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. Just like a concert pianist who has perfect pitch would never play an out-of-tune piano. How can we expect God, who is thoroughly truthful, essence of truth, tolerate dishonesty? God is the embodiment of truth. Satan, on the other hand, is the epitome of lies and deception. In fact, the Bible talks about him as being the father of lies. Right from the very beginning, in those early chapters of Genesis, Satan whispers into Eve's ear. And he says, you will not surely die if you eat the tree in the middle of the garden. Exactly contrary to what God said. And with Satan's lie to Eve, then Adam and Eve both lied to God, and then the floodgates of sin opened up, the avalanche of sin. And since then, Satan has been busy whispering lies into the hearts and minds of all of God's people. Well, how do we lie? How do we lie? Well, there's a number of ways. Slander is lying about another's character or conduct. Do you remember the Pharisees called Jesus a friend of sinners? The implication was that Jesus was a sinner himself. Gossip, making up stories or half-truths to discredit somebody. She's always going to his place. I don't know what they get up to. Thomas Watson, who was a Puritan, he said, the scorpion carries his poison in his tail. The slanderer and the gossip carries his in his tongue. Flattery is a subtle form of deception. And flattery normally doesn't come out of love for the other person, but only for recognition or approval for oneself. You see, you can praise your boss, not because you like him or not because he is good at a certain thing, but maybe if you butter him up, you might get a promotion or you might get a raise. Folks, it is very different to encouragement. And I think sometimes Christians get it wrong. Encouragement is giving courage to the other person to continually do the work of God. Flattery is buttering up the other person so that you might feel good, so that you would have the hope of kudos or self-thanks. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. He says, we're not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery. Paul never tried to sell himself with sweet talk. He never used sweet talk to sell, if I can use that word, the gospel. Distortion or twisting the truth is a form of subtle lying. Misquoting or taking things out of context is a distortion of the truth. And we've probably all done that at one time, haven't we? And politicians are particularly good at it, aren't they? But it's one thing to distort someone's words, but it's another thing to distort the word of God. And in Revelation, we have a promise there, and also in Galatians. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. Ah, they're big words, aren't they? They're strong words. If we mess around with what the gospel is, then watch out. Mormons, JWs, Moonies, and others twist the truth to prove their points. But folks, we need to be careful ourselves, because sometimes we can twist the scriptures to prove or justify our own desires. Sex before marriage, that's okay. We're going to get married anyway. Or I don't need to be involved in church. I've got a private faith. Exaggeration. That's the embellishment of a story for entertainment. And at first it might seem okay and harmless, but it can be dangerous when used destructively. a wife could say of a husband, he's always too busy for me. A husband could say of his wife, she never treats me special. Or you sometimes hear of people say, we had the best time. The weather was perfect. And ever since we became Christians, we never had a problem in the world. Folks, if you exaggerate, you can lose integrity, overstate the facts, or portray a paradise that doesn't exist. It just reminds me of what James says. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Or, it says, you'll be eternally condemned. Deception. Even true words can be employed to deceive others. You know, before I went into the ministry, I was an electrician. And I remember when I was an apprentice, I spent my time working at Garden Island in town. And I remember, because I used to work in different sections to get expertise, and I remember these two leading hands, and they didn't like each other, and one of them was going to be up to be a foreman. Anyway, one guy became a foreman, and the other guy was pretty bitter because he never made it. He was still the leading hand. But there was one time where the foreman told the leading hand to fill in the logbooks because he was going to be delayed. And this is what the leading hand wrote in the logbook, so I'm told. Today, the foreman is back from lunch on time. Perfectly true, but it insinuates that he's not always on time. Paul says in Ephesians 4, he condemns deceitfulness. He said, instead, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And we know sometimes we can be pretty harsh when we speak the truth. We need to be gracious in speaking the truth. Silence. You can break the ninth commandment by passive silence. In your conversation with someone, something might be untrue, something said might be untrue, but you let it go. Or you know a boss or a friend that needs to know something and you keep it to yourself. Folks, that's lying by omission. Well, why do we lie? Why do we lie? Sometimes because we hate people. The worst lies come from sheer malice and hatred or revenge. And that verse of the day, reckless words pierce like a sword. And we all know that we've all been cut up somehow, haven't we, by what other people have said that have been untrue. We lie because we want to impress people. We claim to be bosom buddies with someone we hardly know to get a job, to get a raise, or to get something cheaper. Fear is the root of most children's lies, and they fear the consequences from their parents. We can lie to escape punishment. But officer, my car barely can reach that speed. I've used that one and it didn't work. Convenience. We make excuses not to help when we really don't want to. You know, you hear the excuse, oh, I couldn't make church today because I've been unwell. I used to catch people out. The next day I'd see them rolling around in Coles, you know, fully fit. Well, what is the result of lies? Well, folks, you and I know it destroys credibility. Have you ever heard somebody say, yes, I know what he said, but he said that once before? Oh, she did say she will come tonight, but she often doesn't show up. Folks, you cannot honour the God of truth with a mouth that breaks the commandments, the ninth commandment. I know society minimises the seriousness of lying. And in some ways, you know what, we're conditioned to accept dishonesty. But we need to remember, we are God's children. We are the people of God, and if God is the God of truth, we ought to be a people of truth. And besides, the more lies you tell, the harder it is to remember, isn't it? The second greatest judge in the whole universe is Judge Judy. And I don't watch Judge Judy, but Debbie tells me Judge Judy once said these words, "You don't need a good memory if you tell the truth." How good's that? You don't need a good memory if you tell the truth. It destroys credibility, it destroys relationship. Because when you lie, you break trust. Love and trust are foundations for relationships. And lies are often more compound with more lies to cover up the first lie. It's a little bit like a little pregnancy. Sooner or later, everybody will know about it. And it destroys our soul. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12. He says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And folks, I take it what Jesus is saying, continual, habitual, unrepentant liars will not know heaven. They will be condemned because lying is the opposite to God's character of truth. Lies condemn us. God's word is firm. It is not relative. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know what? Satan doesn't want us to hear the truth, folks, because he will whisper in your ear and in my ear, "Don't worry. The Bible's an old book. It's irrelevant. You know, it contradicts itself, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That minister, he's overstating the facts. He's using scare tactics." It destroys the church also. Paul says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body." Folks, we are part of the family of God. I belong to you, you belong to me, we're interconnected. Jesus is the head. We are the body of Christ. And to deceive, to lie, puts a cloud of doubt over the integrity of Jesus, over yourself, over the church, and over God. Folks, we know that Jesus is the truth. And the greatest truth we need to hold on to is the truth of the gospel. Folks, we know that Jesus has died on the cross for my sin and for your sin, for all our lies we've ever committed. He rose from the dead so that we can share in that resurrection. Our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God of forgiveness. And holding on to lies and distortion of the truth can eat away and destroy any peace of mind. It will destroy relationships with each other. It will destroy ourselves, but it will also destroy our relationship with God. On the other hand, speaking the truth in love will set us free. It will create an atmosphere of trust, foster personal growth, cultivate stronger relationships with others and with God. Some of you are probably asking, well, what happens if my kids or my grandkids or if my friend or if my partner or if me myself are in the habit of lying? Can I give you seven quick thoughts, just quickly? Firstly, teach and emphasise the value of truth and how it builds trusts, relationships. Secondly, lead by example. Folks, if we don't tell the truth, how do we expect others to be truthful? You know, in the olden days when you used to have one of those phones, do you know what I'm talking about? You know those things? And the phone used to ring and you used to say, "Tell them I'm busy." We can do the same with texts and stuff, can't we? Encourage, thirdly, encourage repentance and forgiveness. Folks, if you yourself has been involved in lying, we need to repent, don't we? And we can be forgiven. If for another person, provide accountability to make them feel comfortable so they might tell you the truth. Show grace. Show grace to that other person. Fifthly, teach about the consequences of lying. I think most people would know that. Sixthly, cultivate relationships with God, prayer and reading of the Word of God, coming to church and so on. Folks, will just encourage us as the body of Christ to remain firm, to remain truthful together. And we need to pray for each other, don't we? We need to pray for each other, that they will be transformed by the Lord Jesus. And folks, if we're praying a prayer like that, sooner or later, that deception will leave our lives. I know it's not always easy to be honest, and we can always find examples of why we should be dishonest, just like, what's his name, in that video. But living lives of integrity and truth will always be good and bring credibility to ourselves, to our church, and our Lord Jesus. Hold on to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Folks, before I pray, can I just, Richard mentioned that I'll be speaking at, what is it called? SPOT. What does SPOT stand for? St. Peter's? Oh, wow. How good's that? St. Peter's on Tuesday. I should have thought about that. It's on Tuesday. Folks, not because I'm speaking, I'm going to be speaking on forgiveness. And apparently over time I'm willing to be corrected, but there have been more and more non-Christians going to SPOT, which is a good thing. But you know what? We need Christians there. And so I want to encourage you, if you really love the Lord Jesus and you have the opportunity, you have the time, be there, because there may be some people who might be challenged on that day. And if you're there and you know somebody, you might be an encouragement to them. So can I leave that with you, SPOT? St. Peter's on Tuesday. Yeah, very good. Let me pray for us, eh? Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you again for your word. And Father, we pray that through your Spirit, through your word, you might just get rid of any deception that may be in us. Help us to hold on to your truth, the truth of your word, the truth of the Lord Jesus, the truth of the gospel. And may that drive out all deception in our lives. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.